Hello, I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V-Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. I am so excited about this podcast today. It's a big one, and we have several guests, but Hillary Farnham Faust, who is the founder and broker of Corcoran Reverie, is going to be by my side the whole time while we interview a myriad of different benefactors that are going to be benefiting from the 30A 10K road race celebrating its 10th anniversary. So welcome to the show, Hillary Farnham Faust.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. And then welcome Hillary Glenn, who is the executive director and founder of the Point Washington Medical Clinic.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And you're celebrating close to 5 years.
Correct.
And that's such an amazing feat that you've accomplished. So we'll get to that in a minute. But Hillary, just set up the stage for what we're going to be talking about today, which is how you and your company and your past companies were involved with the 10K road race.
Absolutely. It's been a really exciting journey to watch them when they started out 10 years ago. You know, they had this concept to bring this new 10K to 30A starting in Rosemary Beach. I, of course, was super excited because I'm a runner, and Amy Stoles, who was one of the founders of the race, she was a runner, and we actually knew each other through, you know, business with her having the architecture company. And as our purpose and mission in the real estate companies that I've owned and been a part of, it's always been to serve the community, to give back to our community. And this was an exciting way to do that. You know, the idea of a race on Thanksgiving Day, when you're already in such a place of gratitude, what an incredible, you know, incredible connection to be able to give back and have gratitude for all we've been blessed with and be able to go out with our family and friends and run together on, you know, Thanksgiving morning and be so grateful, and also know that it's going to be benefiting children in need and people in need. And it's a really special race.
And you've been involved for how many years?
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning. So that's 10 years.
Yeah.
And every year, are there different charities that are earmarked for funding?
Absolutely. Okay. So they choose different charities each year. And it's all just been these incredible, you know, usually very focused on children and families in need.
Mm-hmm. And how many are there this year? Is it five?
This year
charities?
Total.
Probably.
Sorry, I think.
Four. Okay. Four. Okay. And then one of them being you, Hillary. And we were talking earlier how we met about 20 years ago when you first moved here from New York, right? And you were an RN in New York. Was it Manhattan or?
I worked at Bellevue.
Okay.
In the children's pediatric emergency room, but I lived in Brooklyn.
Okay. And then the community is the better for you moving here and then starting what you did with the medical clinic. How did that happen? Because I actually don't know. I know that you're doing amazing work and the community needs you very, very much, but how did you get the idea to do that?
So the Point Washington Medical Clinic came about through, you know, connections. I, at the time, was living in Audubon Point, and my neighbor was Jackie Ward. And we would often, at this point, I was actually a nurse practitioner at an urgent care. And I would always, we would talk, and I would say, well, when I have a private practice, I'll have a community day, you know, a day where people who can't afford or don't have insurance could come in and you know, we do a sliding scale or treat them, and, you know, they could give us what they could afford. She also was on the missions board at the Point Washington United Methodist Church. So fast forward about 3 years, I had just gone into charity climb to Mount Kilimanjaro, and Jackie had gone on a mission trip in Russia. And so we got together to have lunch to just, you know, talk about our two trips. And she said, you know, side note, this retired family physician, her name is Dr. Patsy Vargo. We, as the mission committee at the church, wanted to do a medical mission, and we were thinking we would do an international mission. But she has presented that there's need in our community. Why don't we do it here? And Jackie said, I really think you should meet her and maybe see, you know, if that would be something you'd be interested in. I said, yeah, absolutely. So for sure. So probably 2 months later, we were able to all three of us have lunch together. It was actually in Rosemary. And by the end of that lunch, we had come up with a name, had contacted someone to try to get a logo done. And literally, yeah, the ball was rolling. And the clinic kind of has a mind of its own, like this momentum behind it that has propelled it into existence. Mm-hmm. But 3.5 months later, we opened.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's definitely like, you know, if you build it, they will come. You know, you just like are going to do it. And I just think that our community has so many pioneers and visionaries. I mean, it's a really like amazing place to live where we all, like you said, Hillary, are very, very blessed to live in. But I just don't know of really any other place where you can just have an idea and then you open it and you do it and then you like are successful and you do what you're supposed to be doing. It's one of the most, the best things of living here. I know that a lot of people would probably think it's the beach, and of course it is, and it's safe and it's a great way of life and everything. But I always am amazed, like you're a businesswoman and you just did it. And not that it can't be done anywhere else, but to the degree that it's done here is fascinating to me. So how did you've known each other for a while, and Hillary, how did you know that this was a charity that you really wanted this race to be a benefactor of?
Well, I've definitely known Hillary for a very long time, pretty much my entire adult life. So we have a lot of ties. We don't have enough time to talk about that today, right. But it's always how I love how life comes full circle. That's for sure. And I always admired her and respected her so much. And literally from the second I learned of what she was doing, I knew, like you do, you just exactly what you were saying. When you see new businesses open, when you're like, we need that. Every new business that opens, right, we get so excited about. And the same is for the nonprofits and the charities, because it's so needed. And every time that I see something that is meeting that need in our community, I get just, I'm so excited, right? And it just shows me how our community is functioning at such an incredibly high level of supporting our most in need people in the community, because they are the ones who support the businesses. Without the people that Hillary is helping, we would not be in business. Homes would not be built that we could sell.
Yes. Yes.
So it's actually just the most imperative thing that they're being taken care of. And so I knew it was a strong need in our community.
Right. Very well said. We live in a beautiful area that's very well healed with, you know, a very high end demographic economically, as evidenced by, you know, the growth and the craziness that has happened with the takeoff of the real estate market, skyrocketing. But one thing that many people don't know or see unless you talk about it like we're doing right now is that there is a need. And in many cases, it's invisible to the people of means that are going to be able to help. So Hillary, Glenn, if you could talk about your demographics and the economic plight that many of your patients present with as well, so that the viewers and the listeners can see there's a need.
Right. So demographically, our patients, 61% of them report a household annual income of less than $20,000. 84% of them report an annual household income of less than $35,000. The ALICE survival income for Okaloosa and Walton counties is $60,000. So obviously there's a huge disparity in those two numbers. And so our patients are coming to us because, you know, if we aren't there, they're going to have to make a really difficult choice on either their child gets seen, or do they, you know, take them to the emergency room, incur a large cost, but then have to choose to, you know, not pay the car payment or not buy food that week. And so I think many people don't realize that the people who are working to support the industries in our community, which, as you were saying, I mean, all of those people who are supporting these economy and why people want to come and be here, are people and industries that generally aren't given health insurance by their employer. And so they make enough money to not qualify for aid, but don't make enough money to buy their insurance.
Right. In a healthy community, like you were touching on a minute ago, Hillary, is a community that takes care of everybody, not just like one section of the population. And how so few people sometimes mistake that things can keep status quo and work without talking about that everyone has to be taken care of to some degree for it to all work out. I find it so commendable and just beyond impressed at everything that you're doing. And I want to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners and viewers your website, how they can donate, how they can help, learn more about your organization too. If you want to just say that right now, what your channels are for donations.
excuse me. First, I would like to say we have an incredible community. The support through our community, we are 100% donation based. We do write grants, but the community has rallied behind what we are doing in a way that is humbling. It's spectacular. So our website is thepwmc.org. So thepwmc.org. There is a donation link on the website. We are also on Facebook. So at the PWMC, and we also are on Instagram, again, at the PWMC.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to have a big story about Hillary's mission and her vision and where she's come from and where she's going in an upcoming issue of V Magazine, and also about the race and everything. But stay tuned for it as well. And we will keep telling your story because it's such a good story. And thank you so very much for being here, and much success and love.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back. We're talking with M.H. Carr from the Walton County Foundation, Education Foundation. And we're with my guest and my spokesperson here for the 10K annual race that takes place at Rosemary Beach, Hillary Farnham Faust. Welcome.
Thank you.
Did I say the name of your organization correctly?
Close. It's the Walton Education Foundation.
Okay. Excuse me. Okay, great. And you two are friends.
Yes, we
and
are.
I love this community that we live in where people work and play together and have foster these amazing relationships.
Yes.
And you're tennis buddies too, right?
Yes. We have played tennis together against each other for 10 years, yeah, perhaps.
That's great. I love it. I love where we live. Yeah. I absolutely love it. Well, will you tell us about your organization and how that the funds that you need, but also about your mission statement and all that you do for our community?
Yes. So I'm with the Walton Education Foundation, and I'm the executive director, and I'm the only paid employee and also the first paid employee for the Walton Education Foundation. Everyone else is a volunteer or they work for the Walton County School District. So I don't know if you know, but the Walton County School District has over 17 schools because there's schools within schools, and we have over 10,000 students as of this year and over 700 teachers. So we impact the lives of those students, the teachers, their families. It's exponential. And not only that, in the next year, we do the same thing over again. So it's thousands and thousands of students and their families that we can impact with any donation that comes our way. So we have four programs: the Take Stock in Children program, which is a college scholarship program. It's a mentoring program where you start with a mentor in sixth, seventh, or eighth grade. You get selected. And once you, you're an at-risk child, perhaps your parents are incarcerated, or your parents only speak, they don't speak English, or any other challenge, but you are a go-getter student and a teacher or a guidance counselor sees the light in you and thinks that you can be something else if you have a little extra help. That's where this program comes in. And it's not for the straight A students. It's for the AB students, if you will, and they have some attendance issues. You can tell that they need extra support. So it's a mentor program, and you sign up between sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and that mentor follows you through high school. And at the end of the term, when you graduate high school, you are awarded a 2-year college scholarship. So that's program number one.
Amazing.
Then we touch the teachers by, we have these classroom grants. So we award over $60,000 in classroom grants every year. And we have over 75 to 100 teachers apply. And it's just $1,000 to $1,500 that goes directly to the classroom. This isn't for anything large. It's normally for a cycle desk. I don't know if you've heard of those. They're little cycling. So it's like a bicycle underneath your school desk. Say you have attention deficit disorder, it helps you concentrate. Or it's for telescopes or anything from calculators to something that will help retain teachers. And it's an amazing program. It really goes directly to the teachers and doesn't have to go to the big Walton County School District, the whole big shebang. It goes directly to the teachers. So that's important.
That's very important.
And it impacts normally over 70% of the 700 teachers. And that would be 70% of the students as well. Because once you, and again, if you're donating a cycle desk, that's not going to go away after a year. That's exponential. It's probably going to last 2, 3, 4, 5 years before it breaks. So that's huge. And then we have our corporate grant program, and this is for our very large donors. And these are usually direct to school grants. These grants are usually in the neighborhood of $10 to over $300,000. We had our largest grant thus far was for $265,000 from the St. Joe Foundation. And we opened up a STEAM school. I don't know if y'all been to the STEAM school. Yes.
Tell me about that.
It is amazing. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. And they opened up the campus at Watersound, and they took over the St. Joe corporate headquarters. And they created a whole school out there, and it's through South Walton High School. And they have their whole, they have 3D printing and software development and all these courses that you can take in high school now directly related to STEAM. Which we didn't have before one of those. And I believe that happened 2 years ago. And every year it's growing, 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 as our area is too. And then our fourth program, or the next biggest thing, is our district-wide events. So with over 700 teachers and over 10,000 students, you have to bring the district together at some level, from Paxton all the way to Seaside. And if you've never been to Paxton, it's right there on the Alabama-Florida border. So we have Paxton to Funiac, Freeport, Santa Rosa Beach, and then I don't even know what the mileage is, but it takes me about an hour and 20 minutes probably to go from Seaside all the way to Paxton. But we have these district-wide events. Currently with our superintendent, Russell Hughes, he does an epic, he calls it his epic kickoff, and they bring all the teachers together and they get on the same page, and it's awesome, and we get ready for the school year. And then we also handle the Teacher of the Year event. So we try to help support these huge things that have to bring our schools and our teachers together.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
One person, and are you doing, how do you do this?
Well, I'm amazing.
Yes, you are.
She said that. Did you hear that?
That's amazing, really.
Well, thank you. I have a board that are, and the people around the county are represented, businesses are represented, like Chelco, the Walton Area Chamber of Commerce, Gulf Power, Power South, all of those businesses in the area that have some tie to Walton County serve as volunteer members on the board. And they really are the ones that help make it happen.
It's amazing. And who formulated the curriculum that you just outline?
The STEAM curriculum?
Yeah, just all of it, all of the four different
The
programs.
Four programs. Mm. So we used to be a lot smaller. We started in 1995. Mm-hmm. The Walton Education Foundation was formed by the St. Joe Foundation. No, not the St. Joe Foundation. Was formed by the St. Joe Company, mm-hmm, as a donor 501c3 option. And they created the technology something, 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 something for Walton County. I swear it was like 10 words was the name of the company. And about 10 years ago, they renamed it to Walton Education Foundation. Thank goodness, because I would hate to say that all the time. So they started this so that they could get technology into the Walton County schools. Well, it has gone from that pass-through organization where just people were donating money and distributing it to now we have volunteers and we participate and we have relationships with teachers and principals. And these classroom grants are really the thing that pivoted the foundation from being just a pass-through organization to something that is.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
After listening to you, I think our community is in very good hands with all the layers that are going on in the touch points with the teachers and the kids. And it just seems like it's much more robust than I understood.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's really amazing.
Well, the neatest thing is that first program I told you about, the Take Stock in Children program. And the reason that I like it the most is because it's not for the straight A student who's going to receive college scholarships. It's the person that is really trying really hard and just doesn't have that support. And if they, the whole idea is you wouldn't be able to go to college unless you had this program, but you really, you have the potential to go to college. You care that much. The student cares that much. So, and we have 35 active students in that program right now.
Kudos to you. And so tell the audience, listeners or viewers, how people can get involved and how they can financially support this incredible endeavor that you just outlined.
So we have, we accept large corporate grants, usually from the largest businesses in the area. And then individual donations, you can donate on our website. We also had, we used to have the Apple Classic 5K that was out of Freeport. COVID shut that down, but luckily we were landed. This is our first year to be a part of this opportunity with a 30A 10K. And we're so excited because it's not where we have a run in our background. And now we get to be a part of an even bigger run because ours was a small community run that had just around 200 runners. People could volunteer. And then we also need volunteers in the schools and we need volunteer mentors for our Take Stock in Children program, for the scholarship program. And
what is your web address?
Oh, it's waltonedfoundation.org.
Okay. So everybody go check that out. It's thank you for being a guest. It's amazing. And Hillary, if you could also just talk about, what our community is doing to help those less fortunate and how we can just reiterate that the race basically chose these particular causes and nonprofits for a reason.
Yeah. And I think this one is so timely given the impact of all the people that have moved to our area due to COVID, the strain that it has put on our education system and on the teachers, especially. I love the teacher component of this, what you're doing. I mean, they have truly been heroes throughout all of this, the educational process of COVID. And I think 30A10K, identifying that is really special. And we're so happy that we can support that because it's the basis of our community. You know, whether we all have kids in school here or people that are moving here with kids, to know that our teachers are supported, to know that the kids in need are supported. You know, the bicycle thing is just amazing. I needed that when I was in school. I need that now. I should probably get one now. But I think it's just incredible. And I love that we're able to tie it into a special day on Thanksgiving and, have gratitude for the ability that our county has to help all these kids and teachers. I think it's awesome.
And that we need more people to sign up too, right?
We do. Yes. Everyone come and race on Thanksgiving Day for this incredible cause. We definitely want to see everyone out there with their families and friends. And if you can't run, walk, you definitely can walk, run,
right.
Whatever.
And if you can't do that, you can still donate.
You can still donate.
Donate.
You don't have to register to race to donate.
Right. Awesome. Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Hello, welcome back. We have our third guest up at bat, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Hillary Farnham Faust, who is going to have a podcast soon herself, I'm pretty sure. She's pretty good at this.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. And we are so honored to have you here.
Thank you.
And you are the executive director of the Seaside Foundation since 2018. And right,
sounds about right.
Is that about
yes.
right? Well, that's what the bio says. On.
Yes, okay. I started the week of Hurricane Michael when that came through.
Oh, so yes. So that's about this time of year, just about yeah. too. And Teresa Evans Horton,
correct.
Welcome so much. I love this, the Seaside School, the Seaside Foundation, and such quality education, and our area is just the richer for it. Like so many different things that
Absolutely.
We're talking about today, but it is truly amazing. And it's different than the school because it's the foundation arm of the school.
Correct.
So talk about that part of the Seaside School and Foundation.
Yes. So the Seaside School Foundation is a separate 501c3 from the school. We hold the assets. So the buildings, the computers, the expensive stuff. And that's really in place to protect the school, right? So that if something were to happen and God forbid, that the assets are protected.
Right.
So our school operates in such a way that every year there's a deficit, right, that needs to be covered. So the foundation was formed back in 2007. But even looking further back, 20 years ago, the race started to support the school, to keep it running. So the proceeds every year from the race.
But the Seaside race, not the race that we're talking
correct.
About.
Correct. Right. I'm
okay.
sorry.
Right. No yes. problem. I just
love you, 38-10K, but let's talk about me.
enough about them.
Enough about them. Yes. So the race started 20 years ago, the Seaside half marathon and 5K. Rick Helfand, who is our former board chair, no, president of the foundation. He was never a chair. For so many years, he founded the race, right? It was kind of a grassroots effort, and it's just grown into this outstanding event. Again, that is essential to cover the operations of the school.
Right. And that takes place in March?
Actually, it'll be President's Day weekend, February 18th through the 20th. Okay. So the Sunday, the 20th, is the actual race.
And is Emeril Lagasse still involved?
He, unfortunately, this year will not, or in 2022 will not be. EJ, his son, who went to the Seaside Neighborhood School.
I know.
He's graduating. And then I think he's just off to Europe to do all the things.
He is.
So I think Emeril will be with him.
I get it. Yeah, that's awesome.
So we will be celebrating at Taste of the Race, the Corchus boys.
Right.
Who own Amici.
Yes.
Yes. So they're also former students.
That is exciting.
It's so exciting. Oh, it's so exciting.
So fundraising, what, you know, you need to collect money. You need to always be the arm generating revenue to, like you said, cover the deficit. And
so I think, yes, we have really exciting things happening as far as our plans with the college to expand the collegiate high school down here in South Walton. That's going to take a lot of money, a lot of capital. Mm-hmm. So have to raise that. What's important to me is that we also create endowment funds, right? So that we don't have a deficit, so that we're raising this money that will just in perpetuity go back to support the school. So moving forward, there will be a focus on both capital again and endowment.
And when will that start? Like the capital drive is already happening. Yes.
What is your pledge? Yes.
And you should have a podcast too.
Well, I don't know.
So tell people where they can do that, by calling you, by going on the website.
Yes. So the Seaside School, well, it's not the, don't put the in front of it. SeasideSchoolFoundation.org is the foundation website. There's also our race website, which is runseasidefl.com. Okay. Yes, those are
and
the sites.
And then if they wanted to call you or just sit down and talk to you about endowments or
any of it. Any of it.
Okay, so everyone out there, you know, everyone that we're talking to, every benefactor, every charity, 501c3 needs help, as we're explaining to the world here that's listening. And it's so amazing that, like we've said several times already, like, how blessed we are to be here. What a great community is.
And you all are amazing.
Thank you.
That energy in the green room. Yeah. I mean, yes, that was amazing.
Yeah, well, that's great.
And really good conversation while we all waited to come over. Yeah. Just a really beautiful thing.
Awesome. That's
so thank
so nice
you.
To hear.
And I love Bobby Parker. He's the bomb.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Hillary, you know, thank you for helping co-host this and for you and your company being a champion of
Absolutely.
So many things in our community and for being a platinum sponsor of the 10K.
Of course. And of course, you know, this one's very near and dear to my heart because my son has gone to Seaside School, as has my daughter, and he's currently a senior and graduating from what's been an incredible, incredible experience. Yeah. So
amazing.
Yes.
You can't make this stuff up.
No.
You know, I mean, it's truly,
I say that
truly
a lot. Amazing.
You do?
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, and don't you love, I think this actually speaks probably the most to our spirit of our community, that the 38-10K is wanting to benefit the Seaside Foundation, I think is so incredibly special, and that the two races support each other and complement each other for the betterment of the community is the spirit of what this is.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And what I always say, peace, love, and progress.
Oh, yeah.
So nice to meet you.
You
I love
too.
Meeting you. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
back talking about the 10K, 30A 10K road race coming up this Thanksgiving. Amazing. Have a great time. I'm sitting here with my beautiful co-host, Hillary Farnham Faust of Corcoran Reverie, who is a platinum, one of the many platinum sponsors, but she's a spokesperson for the race this year, and she's organized a tremendous panel of guests. And our next guests up are Alicia Skolrud and Karita Smith, and you are both from the Guardian Ad Litem Foundation, which I'm so interested in hearing more about.
Interested in telling you.
Thank you. And you're the foundation president, and Karita is the community outreach coordinator. Thank you so much for both being here.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. So give us all, educate us on what your organization does.
Happy to. So I'm actually with the foundation, as you mentioned, the Northwest Florida Guardian Ad Litem Foundation. Karita works for the program, and we'll explain a little bit about what the difference is. The foundation is the support organization for the not-for-profit support organization for the program, which is a state-run organization. We're able to do a little more of the fun stuff. We're able to provide through our fundraising some of the extras for the children in our program. But maybe we start with just what is Guardian Ad Litem. Would that be helpful?
Sure.
Well, a guardian ad litem is an advocate for a child who's been abused, abandoned, or neglected. What we do as volunteers, we go out and we visit with the children. We make sure that no further hurt, harm, or danger is coming to them, and that they get the services that they need in order to have a healthy, happy life. These children may have come from a home where there's domestic violence or sexual abuse. We, as volunteers, we become the conduit between that child and the judge so that that child is not overlooked in the process.
That's an amazing service that you're offering to the community. And with your history there, what is, and I don't mean this statistically, but like the success rate, like are you able to really give a leg up and help these kids turn around in like a dire time in their life?
Absolutely. Our volunteer advocates do their best to be that person in that child's life that's going to be consistent, that's going to give them, you know, the truth in all matters, who's going to protect them from anything that we can help prevent from happening to that child. I don't have a statistic for you on the success rate, but I can tell you as an advocate, and Alicia's an advocate as well, my volunteer success rate is 100%. Mm-hmm. From the very first case I have here to the cases that I have today, I still have contact with all of my past children that I have advocated for, and they're all thriving,
That's
doing
amazing.
Well, things that you wouldn't have seen from the situation that they came from.
That is something throughout the state, because the Guardian Ad Litem program is a statewide program. It's cut up in the state by judicial circuit. So we're the first judicial circuit, the first four counties here in Florida. And there are statistics that the state's working to try to do just that, measure what success looks like. But it is hard. I mean, it's hard to, what they would have, you know, what would have happened versus what did happen. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, it's something that's hard to put statistics and on paper. So I think that's what Karita, as a volunteer, you can see the difference. Mm-hmm. You know how your children are when you get them and what's going on in their lives. And by the time you've completed, your relationship for this particular family or child, mm-hmm. you see the difference and mm-hmm. that they're happy and they're in a permanent placement. You see a lot of things that
other people don't see. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to tell the story to expose people that just are going a million miles an hour like everybody is who don't see it right in front of them. You mm-hmm. do. You're on the front lines, but other people don't. And if we don't tell the story, then you can't get the help you need. And just to know that there are so many people in need that you don't see.
Right. I believe when I came to speak with Miss Hillary before, people don't realize that the abuse happens everywhere. It's just, it's not widely reported or it's not made such a big deal out of because of the circumstances or possibly who that individual might be. Mm-hmm. But it happens in every part of every county mm-hmm. basically in the world. Mm-hmm. There are other agencies in other states. CASA is what the alternate name is for the Guardian Ad Litem program, but it happens in every state, in every county, mm-hmm. in every town.
Right.
It's just a matter of who's paying attention to it.
Right.
Well, it's like you said earlier, I think that it is so hidden here mm-hmm. by the beauty of the area.
Right.
And we're so grateful that 3810K is helping expose that. This is one of those organizations mm-hmm. that everyone needs to be aware mm-hmm. what's happening yeah. in their community for sure.
And you're both volunteer. So how does that work?
So our foundation is a 100% volunteer board. There okay. are no paid staff members on the foundation. We have a 12-member board, and we help. You know, we are fundraisers, and the things that we collect dollars for go directly to the children. We have a Children in Need Fund that provides clothing for children who are, you know, removed mm-hmm. and put into new placements. We have holiday programs, you know, for celebrations. So they get a little mm-hmm. something special, mm-hmm. you know, at certain times of the year. We have several different programs. And then we also use our funding to help support recruitment, because this is a very unique mm-hmm. Volunteer program that, I mean, it's the majority of staff are volunteers. And these are folks who go through, you know, some pretty rigorous training once they volunteer. They're given all of the tools to be successful. People don't stop being volunteers very often. Once you get into it, you're just drawn, you're committed for life. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, getting folks there. Mm-hmm. So we do spend some of our foundation dollars for recruitment mm-hmm. efforts and, you know, to get the word out mm-hmm. that we need volunteers, particularly in Walton County.
Mm-hmm. Right. Particularly in Walton right. County. I mean, the whole circuit, the whole state actually needs volunteers, but Walton County has the fewest number of volunteers. We are working with 303 children in dependent care, and we have 29 volunteers. That number is very disproportionate.
Yeah, it is.
We have the small staff that is in Walton County. We'll have to take up the slack and see those kids who don't have an advocate to be there for them. And they don't get that personal touch as they would if I were going to see them or if you were going to see them.
Right.
They don't have time to sit down and play a game of Uno or to play mm-hmm. checkers, to spend that mm-hmm. quality time. They mm-hmm. need to find out the essentials, make sure that everything is the way it should be, and that they're getting the educational surrogacy, they're getting the therapy or the transition time that mm-hmm. they need in mm-hmm. order to just either go back to home mm-hmm. or stay in foster care or to mm-hmm. go to an adoptive placement. Mm-hmm. They're not getting that, for lack of a better word, love
mm-hmm. yeah.
that a volunteer gives to right. an individual child.
Right, right. And you've been a volunteer for 10 years?
I have.
Yes, and with the foundation, with the 10K too, you've been working, your first 10K was 10 years ago too, right?
No, okay. The first one was 5 years ago.
Oh, 5 years, okay.
And fantastic. We... From that was our first time being recipients of the 3810K. And Miss Amy was the person who called us, and we went out to a beautiful building there, and we got to meet the runners before the race because they gave out the bags.
Uh-huh.
But with COVID, you know, that's going to change a little bit. But we met some wonderful people. We have a volunteer from that very first recipient of that fund.
Mm-hmm.
Who's still a volunteer today.
Mm-hmm.
He lives two counties over, but he still volunteers mm-hmm. in Walton County because that's where the need was then and that's where the need mm-hmm. is now.
Great. And you're a paid employee, but you're also a volunteer too. Which
yes, ma'am.
Is just commendable.
Well, I love the children. And that's what I told them. I yeah. could not work here yeah. unless I could still volunteer.
Right.
So.
And the same thing's true of our board. Most of our board members volunteer their time on the board,
mm-hmm.
Which without any paid staff is a pretty extensive commitment,
mm-hmm.
But they also are mm-hmm. advocates for the children. So in some of them, we have a couple of, you know, of our board members who have been advocates for 10, 15 years. They've had dozens of children,
mm-hmm.
And they've, you know, stayed in contact with mm-hmm. them. They, you know, they're adults now and they can see, you know, how much
the
of an impact
of their
they
labor.
Had.
Yeah, that's amazing.
These children become part of your lives.
Mm-hmm.
They not only appreciate the fact that you've stepped in
mm-hmm.
when their parents couldn't, mm-hmm. wouldn't, or didn't have the ability to, but if you maintain that relationship. Now, it depends on the age of the child. If that child is, you know, very, very young and their case closes and you maintain that relationship, if that case ever opens again, you wouldn't be able to be that advocate on that case because that relationship is no longer neutral. Mm-hmm. As an advocate, when you start a case, you're neutral to the case. You don't know any of the parties mm-hmm. and you don't have a dog in the fight. You're just going to look, going to see, and going to collect that information. But once you maintain that relationship, it becomes something that, you know, next year in 2022, I'll be going to a wedding of my very first case. And he's come over. He knows my child. You become their family. Mm. And you, even though they had that hard time in their life, they appreciate you.
Heartwarming. It's all worth it. That's what
it really is. Yeah,
and,
it really is.
And we so appreciate the 3810K folks for, you know, choosing us again. And we're delighted to be a part of it. We're really excited. We've got some great partners. You know, the other organizations are all wonderful. So we're looking forward to a really exciting week.
Great. Well, could you just close our interview out with giving some web addresses or about how people can help, volunteer, donate money?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So for donation, obviously that's the foundation, and I'm over that. Our website for the foundation is wflgal.org. So wflgal.org. I think it's like every letter of the alphabet that's mm-hmm. difficult to pronounce. So, but we'll provide that to you afterwards so you can, okay. you can post we'll put, it.
Yeah, we will.
And then personally for me, again, we don't have any employed staff. So my personal cell phone number is what you would call and we can get you in touch if you want it. You have an interest in, mm-hmm. in participating with the board or in a corporate donation mm-hmm. or some kind of ongoing giving. Feel free to contact me. That's 850-390-5003. And then Karita can tell you all about how to become a volunteer.
So if you want to become an advocate, you would call me directly. My number is 850-461-3877. My number is on signs. Hillary knows. And you can contact me directly. My name is spelled C-A-R-I-T-A. It would be a dot and then Smith, S-M-I-T-H, at gal.fl.gov.
Okay, great. We'll put this up on screens too when the podcast airs so that people will be able to look at it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for telling us your story and all the good you're doing. Thank you so much.
And you guys too. We failed to mention that. You know, we appreciate your sponsorship and your time and this opportunity. This was wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Happy to share good news.
And Miss Hillary, the second time, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. She's
had me come to speak with her before, and I definitely appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, we've saved the best for last. And it has been just an incredible honor to meet all these amazing founders of these nonprofits. And we are excited to be able to introduce you all to Amy Stoyles, who is one of the founders of the 3810K race. And Corcoran Reverie is so honored. And it's a privilege to be able to be one of your sponsors. And we'd love for you to be able to tell everybody about the race.
Thank you so much, Hillary. Thank you, Lisa. I really appreciate being on the podcast today. So this is the 10th anniversary for the 3810K race. We are super excited about this year, coming back full-time in person. And last year, of course, we had to go to a virtual event. But this year, registrations are looking fantastic, and we're really excited to be back.
That's so good. Doesn't it feel really good to live a real life instead of a virtual life right now?
Yes. Well, I think everybody is very excited to go back to racing in person. Yes. I know I am. So yes.
That's fascinating. So how did you start it?
Okay. So funny enough, it was Karen's idea. I'll be honest. So we started out, she said, you know, there's really no Thanksgiving Day tradition races. She came from Atlanta, where there was always the Atlanta half marathon on Thanksgiving Day that everyone woke up and did. So she said, you know, we need a nice Thanksgiving Day event down here. And a 10K is something that a lot of people can do. And we added in later on a 5K and a 1 mile fun run. So there's something for every runner and every ability. So, you know, there's some great goals The first year, actually, we thought there would be, you know, we'd be lucky to have 200 people and cover the cost of the t-shirts. Unbeknownst to us, so what happened was, quite literally, the day before the race, we had registration signed up in Rosemary Beach downtown. And so many people kept showing up, and we kept taking reservations or registrations. So the next thing we know, we ended up calling the sheriff's department and telling them we had 800 people signed up instead of 200, which was what our permit was for. And is that okay? Because quite honestly, 800 people are now going to run down the road tomorrow morning. We had a couple of panicked phone calls and people came out, but it worked out. So every year since, we've just kind of grown the race. I think it went from, you know, 800 to 1300 or 1400 to gradually 2000, then 2500. In 2019, we had 3,500, which was our record. At this point, registration is tracking very similar to that, and that's what we're anticipating for this Thanksgiving Day.
So what amount are you anticipating?
3,500 runners.
That is so incredible.
Across, well, a 1 mile, the 5K, and right. the 10K all combined. But yes, that makes it a huge endeavor. Mm-hmm. Originally, this was going to be like a side hobby kind of thing. It's turned into a full-time job for most of the year, but it's a labor of love. Karen and I absolutely love what we do. And, you know, we have a great group of people that help us. So
amazing. So how many more entrants could you take? So should we be promoting that you need more, or do you not need any more?
No. We need as many as we can get. We'll take everyone up to 3,500. I'll put it that way. Right now, yes, we would love for people to register for the race. Registration can be found at 3810k.com. And I can tell you a little bit about the event, a little bit about what all the finishers receive and what we're all about. So, you know, our mission from day one has been to have a really happy, healthy, family-friendly event for everyone. Again, it's a 1 mile, a 5K, a 10K, something for every ability. We have, you know, groups of families come out, kids, grandparents, aunts and uncles. It's funny because every year when we get the registrations in, it'll be like chunks of 10 or even, you know, 15 or 20 people all signing up with the same last name or, you know, all at once. We have a lot of group registrations, and I think that makes it really special. That's our goal, and to raise money for our amazing charity partners. So when we first started the race, we actually thought we'd be lucky to cover the cost of the t-shirts. And at the end of the day, when all the bills were paid, we looked at each other and we had $15,000 left over. We had never intended to make money on the race, so we ended up just giving it away to a local charity. Lesson learned, don't give everything away, because the next year we all had to come out of pocket to start up the funds for the race. So, you know, small business lesson learned. But, every year, yes, we give back to local charities. To date, we've given back $450,000 in donations, and we feel confident we'll break the $500,000 mark this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
That is something. Yeah, that is
really
amazing. And then I think you've got a lot of sponsors this year, so I don't know if you want to give some shout outs to some of your sponsors.
I would love to. So, of course,
Hillary
Revere, is one of our top sponsors, and I want to say a huge thank you to her. In addition, I will say Rosemary Beach has been our location since day one. David Bailey over there has always given us kudos as saying we're the only, you know, non-Rosemary event that happens down there that he just could not believe is done as well as we do it. He's a huge supporter. We can't get him to come out and do the race, actually, but one of these days we will. So we have a good time with that. So also Visit South Walton, Zarzar Law, The Hub, 30A.com, Mike Ragsdale and his group over there are huge supporters and have been for all 10 years, and Spell Restaurant Group. Those are some of our top sponsors.
So it's a beautiful race. I can't tell you that I ran it, but one year I did walk it. And so
that's all that
I
counts.
At least did some, like you said, there's something for everybody, right? But it is great. It's such a great tradition to do something with family on Thanksgiving. Just like you were saying earlier too, Hillary, it's just a great community esprit de corps. And you giving back to the charities in our community just makes it like so worthwhile to living here, for us all to live here, and for this I don't know, this like community spirit and ethos about where we live, where people are not just like completely self-absorbed, but like are looking outward. And that can't be taught. It's innate. And I think that that's one of the great parts about living here.
I will say, so we've had a great time doing the race, and every year we try to improve on it. Not only with the kinds of people we've been able to be involved with and also the charities, but, you know, some of the things we've done. So this year, we've actually gone to trying to be more environmentally friendly with our race, and all finishers of the 5K and 10K will receive a commemorative 32-ounce Mir reusable water bottle. And those will be courtesy of Corcoran Riviera as well. But thanks to their sponsorship, we were able to do it. It's pretty amazing. And they'll be, Culligan is going to do water stations around the area. So we'll be able to avoid having, you know, thousands and thousands of single use plastic water bottles at the event.
Kudos to you for that. That's
and then great. The 1 mile fun runners will have a stainless steel cup as well. So we'll be able to do that. And, it's pretty cool. And then everyone gets our commemorative iconic, you know, finishers race shirts.
Right. So. Of course, the coveted shirts.
Very important.
And then you both look great because you're both runners. And then you are going up to run the Boston Marathon next week.
I am with Karen. Yes.
And, oh, you're both doing it.
We're both doing it together. Yes.
Oh, that's, has she done it before too?
Yes, many times.
Okay. So that's just amazing. Have you ever run a marathon?
No, and that won't be happening. Okay. But I'm really grateful for the 10K and 5K opportunity.
Right. Well, I hope you do really well. And thank you for starting it and founding it and your spirit and everything that you did with this for the last 10 years. The community thanks you, everybody, and all the charities.
Well,
obviously, that they were was really heartwarming to listen to their stories.
It's a group effort. I mean, Karen and Craig and I and, you know, all of our sponsors, all of the runners that help us. I mean, we would not be a success without everyone's involvement and helping us.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for all you do. And thank you for coming on the podcast to tell your story, too.
Thanks.
I'm going to take this V Speaks podcast to the finish line.